This is a CBC podcast.
Blanket zoning. Hot solution to the housing crisis? Or is this blanket cold and wet? Let's talk rezoning, Calgary. I'm Anis Haidari, and this is Calgary.
Got a little pop quiz for you, my friend.
Producer Josh Page.
Now, do these terms mean anything to you? RCG, HGO, and RG.
They are bad choices for the Wheel of Fortune bonus round.
They are certainly that. Yes, absolutely. Those are not great letters for Vanna. They're also the three new designations the city's looking at to blanket zone the city. So this would change lots zoned for single and semi-detached houses. Now, if a lot already has a higher density zone on it, you're not included in this. So we're talking things like townhouses, row homes would now be allowed. But to be clear, what we're not talking about are high-rise apartment buildings on a single bungalow lot. So you'd still need a development permit, but a rezone, which comes with a council vote and a whole process like that, that would no longer happen. Now, each of these three zones are all just a little bit different in these, but the overall goal, density, more places to live for more people.
And these proposals, we are not hearing big rounds of kumbaya across the city. There are supporters, for sure. But there are, let's just say there's also not supporters. A group of councillors, they tried to punt this idea down the road, basically saying, let's hold a plebiscite and let's go from there. But those councillors lost the vote to try and have another vote. So coming up on April 22nd, the public hearing begins around whether Calgary should be blanket zoned. More than 40 community associations oppose this idea. One of them is Glendale Meadows. Chris Wellner's the president. Hi, Chris. Thanks for coming in.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. First question, why are you opposed to blanket zoning?
We're very much in favor of good community planning, good density planning, and solutions that make sense for communities like ours all across Calgary and established communities.
What I'm hearing from you is that you don't think that blanket zoning is good planning here. What's wrong with the idea of adding townhouses, duplexes, whatever may come to any lot on any street in Glendale?
I think blanket zoning is really a very blunt sledgehammer when what's probably more appropriate is a little bit of fine-tuning, maybe a more surgical approach to development. Each time one of these planning processes comes along, the goalposts get moved. So we just completed a local area plan. We were part of 10 communities grouped together as the Westbrook areas, and they came up with the Westbrook local area plan. There were certainly things in it we didn't like, but we accepted where things were going, what the objectives of the planning was, and primarily it's a density exercise. How do we densify the city? How do we make it more vibrant, more affordable, just a better place to live? We 100% support density development, but it's got to be done properly. It can't just be open up the doors to a developer who wants to build on anywhere they want under any circumstances.
A lot of the lots that we would be looking at here are quite expensive. But if you take that expense and you divide it up so that you have multiple houses there, It would ostensibly cut the cost of those homes. If this even lowers the cost of homes in your neighborhood a little bit for newcomers, Isn't that good to make it cheaper for them to bring new life into the neighborhood?
There's a couple of elements to that. And the reality is there's nothing cheaper about what's being created. So, for example, in my neighborhood, we live in a beautiful neighborhood. People who live there, we live there for a long time. People love it. Let's say you could pick up a house right now, and it's basically the value of the lot, which would be around $500,000. Right away, that's not affordable for a whole bunch of people. What a developer is doing is taking that $500,000 lot, and they're turning it into, let's say, a three-stack or a three-slice row house, as I like to describe it. Even a year ago, we're selling for, let's say, $750,000, $800,000 a year.
I'm going to throw a term out here that can sometimes upset people, so I'll apologize.
Can I say it for you?
Go ahead. What do you think I'm going to say?
NIMBY.
That's the one. You know, when people say that they don't want this type of density to come to their neighborhood. It's often thrown out as a NIMBY.
I never said that, though. I said we are fully in favor of density development, fully. In the Westbrook Local Area Plan, Glendale itself, our volunteers, produced a plan that added 2,800 units, townhomes, row homes, apartments, to our community. We only have 1,100 homes to start with. This was going to be three times the development in the size of our community. So don't tell us that we're against development, because we're the ones who proposed massive development as far as we're concerned.
So that's fair when we say, you know, NIMBY is not in my backyard, in case someone's listening and hasn't heard the term. You're saying yes in my backyard, but not this. Is that a fair way to put it?
It has to be planned. Let's say those three row houses. I mean, and again, this is a community of predominantly single family homes. There's no doubt about it. We do have social housing. We have townhome complexes. We have all sorts of stuff. In fact, on the books right now in Glendale, there are over 180 units currently under construction. Those are almost exclusively rental income properties, which that's what the federal government is pushing. The municipal government wants more rental suites. So it's happening. It's happening under what the work that was done in our case in the Westbrook Local Area Plan. So the development is happening. It's happening, quite frankly, at an unprecedented rate. Unprecedented. Like, we've never seen development like this before.
Is it a concern that a lot of this development is for rental units from your description? Because you've also mentioned already that what blanket zoning might bring to your perspective is rental units as opposed to purchasing.
We need rental units. We need affordable rental units. There's one project that it's a 22-unit row house-looking building, 11 basement suites, 11 uppers, $2,800 a month for an upper suite, $1,500 for a basement suite. I have a 30-year-old daughter, and she recently moved out and bit the bullet on a downtown apartment for, I think it's $1,600 a month, and the rent is going up in May to almost $1,900. She got it, you know, came in on a broken lease kind of thing. So these things are not affordable. So it's great density development, but the market that you're trying to attract or help, you're truly not helping.
Do you feel like the city has heard these concerns, whether it be city staff or your local councillor?
I don't know if people fully appreciate the amount of work that volunteers do in Calgary, an awful lot of it through community associations. But you're just killing that spirit of having people involved. And people want to be involved because, like, truly, we love our communities. Like, Calgary is a great city to live in. It's truly a great place. And are there issues? Are there problems? Absolutely. But blanket zoning is going to open up an amazing wealth transfer to developers who have the wherewithal to come in, buy up the house that's probably a little bit run down next to you, and put up anything. So within a couple of weeks, a homeowner could end up with a property beside him that goes from, you know, maybe a family of four to 25 people who are living beside them. With nine suites, you know, times three garbage bins each, you know, 27 garbage bins. How many parking spaces? Cars don't matter anymore.
I mean, the flip side is, in theory, if the market is flooded, if it's injected with a lot more properties, then that would theoretically bring the cost down. What's your response to the idea that more properties would eventually drop those costs?
In Glendale, I could show you a little chart I've done up, and it identifies those 180 units. None of them are affordable. The one constant in it all is that developers will charge market rates. There's nothing in our system that will stop or prevent that. We're not a rent-controlled city or province. And, you know, hey, the most capitalistic society in the world, New York City, has rent controls. Is it time to even have that discussion in Calgary, Alberta?
Ooh, that's, you know? That'd have to be a different podcast.
Indeed. But those are the kind of things that can be, I don't know, at least raised.
Thanks for coming in, Chris.
Thank you very much, Denise.
That's Chris Wellner. He's president of the Glendale Meadows Community Association. Now, it's councillors and the mayor who will decide if this whole idea goes through. Why is this what Calgary needs? And why is the city right and opponents wrong, at least to their perspective? Josh White is the director of city and regional planning with the City of Calgary. Hi, Josh. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me today.
The first question I want to ask you, and I think a lot of people are wondering, is why does Calgary need blanket zoning?
Yeah, so this dates back to Calgary's housing strategy, and this is one action of many to address the housing situation we're in. And last summer, City Council adjudicated a very comprehensive housing strategy, which included a number of recommendations from a housing and affordability task force, of which I was one of the members. We've seen rapid rise in price and rent across the city, and a mismatch between supply and demand matched against the very high growth that we're experiencing in Calgary. And so that strategy lays out several dozen actions, one of which is to do a rezoning across the city to something we call RCG in established parts of the city, and then RG in newer parts of the city. And basically what that does is allow more diversity of housing. So different varieties of housing to boost our housing supply and provide housing that's more within the reach of more Calgarians.
Is this really going to make that much more new housing, turning old single-family homes or spots that are zoned for old single-family homes, making them into row houses or townhomes? Like how much new housing is actually going to pop up because of this?
A significant amount, actually. And so about two-thirds of the land base of the City of Calgary that has communities is zoned exclusively for single-detached homes. Okay, so that means no change can occur. You can replace a single-detached home for a new single-detached home, and that happens a lot when homes age out. But what this allows is that when a house comes to age and it's appropriate for it to be either renovated or torn down, it can be replaced not just by one very large, very expensive house, but can be replaced by two houses or sometimes four houses with secondary suites. And so the great thing about this proposal is the impact or the change on any given street is very incremental. But across the vast geography of the city, that adds up to a lot of units. And so CMHC, amongst other agencies, say we're somewhere between 10 to 15% short on our housing supply across Canada in terms of our production. And this proposal in and of itself, we believe, can produce a net increase of about up to 15%. So that helps match our supply against our demand in a very material way across the city. So we think it's a significant action to take, but it's not the only action that we're taking across the housing strategy to boost supply.
I want to talk about some of the pre-existing actions. We've been speaking with folks from Glendale, and the president of that community association has said, they already had a plan, and there was a plan to densify parts of that neighborhood already. And now this changes that. So, if we look at Glendale, let's say, but it doesn't have to just be them. Why weren't existing plans enough?
Yeah, so that plan, Westbrook plan, North Hill plan, other local area plans that we're producing are good plans. They are very good plans. And they will produce a diversity of housing. Though, even since that we've adopted those plans, the situation has changed in Calgary. And so the housing strategy was looking specifically through the lens of affordability. With a more universal approach, we can produce more housing, more aggregate housing in those neighborhoods and across the city to address specifically affordability, because row houses are a lower price, a little bit smaller square footage, but they're really appropriate for families and people like that, but come in quite a bit less expensive for purchase or for rent compared to duplexes.
When we talk about the different neighborhoods, one of the criticisms that we've been hearing on this is people might see their neighborhoods change, that maybe some parking goes away, some trees will go away, but that Calgary loses what a specific neighborhood was originally designed to be. So should these neighborhoods change what the original intent was?
Yeah, cities evolve, right? And they change no matter whether we plan for it or not. So even if it's a single detached becoming a larger single detached, you know, large single detached are very large in scale. The change often is not necessarily as much about whether it goes from 1 to 2 or 2 to 1 to 4 even, because the massing, the scales is relatively similar. The change in character is really old to new, because older houses are smaller, newer houses are bigger. Yes, there's incremental change along with that, and that will evolve those communities. But we think there's some positive change to that. It's important to look at what we gain as well from that evolution. Most of our communities across Calgary, about 86% of established area communities, are well below what their peak populations were. So what does that mean? That means schools close or are threatened to close because population has dropped off, or local businesses are not as thriving as they once were because the population is lower. What this type of incremental infill allows is that population to replenish, more families to move back in you know, certainly single detached homes, but semi-detached homes. And lots of families are choosing row houses because they're closer to the level of affordability and they're appropriate for families. And so, yes, there's change to be sure, but single detached homes, semi-detached homes, and row houses are more similar than they are different. They all have similar heights, similar massing. So while there's incremental change, there's positive change that can come along with that as well.
What's your response to the idea that the city is actively advocating for blanket zoning as opposed to neutrally saying this is an option?
So it is the recommendation of administration, this proposal. So we're not a completely neutral party. We bring our best professional recommendation forward. The Housing Task Force, as a body of external folks to the city, experts in housing as well as internal folks, made their best recommendations relative to the issue of affordability in Calgary. And this was one amongst many recommendations. And then the city administration was tasked with taking that away and understanding what it believed should be adopted through a comprehensive housing strategy. And council adopted that strategy in September last year, which included an action to propose moving forward with this rezoning. And so administration, we're not advocates, but we are here to explain some of the thinking behind why this is being considered in the first place, some of the rationale, some of the thinking.
The kind of changes that can come from this in terms of affordability, they're slow moving. You know, it's like a little bit of a dribble out of the tap. Because it takes time for new housing to be built, takes time for designs to go in. It's a slow process to move the affordability meter.
The city is not proposing that this one change will solve all of housing's problems in Calgary, but it's a significant one to consider because it addresses a very large middle part of the market that's largely missing. A lot of what cities are really good at doing is building apartment scale developments, say, for example, downtown, and we're really good at building single detached houses. And in some parts of the city, we're good at building duplexes where they were rezoned through a blanket rezoning, for example, in the 80s. That produced tens of thousands of duplex units. But given the level of affordability that people have in the city and their income versus the cost of housing, you know, a very typical example is maybe a young professional couple, they live in a condo, they're starting a family, and they're trying to see where they can go in the market. And there's a very big leap from an apartment to a semi-detached house. And so what this proposal does is allow that gap to be closed a bit. It puts a product that's at a size and square footage and a price that bridges that gap between apartments and single and semi-detached houses. That's why it's an important action.
Thanks for coming in, Josh.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Josh White is the Director of City and Regional Planning with the City of Calgary. The public hearing on blanket zoning is on April 22nd. I'm Anis Haidari, and this is Calgary. The podcast is produced by Josh Page. Mackenzie Meyer is our technician, and Tracy Johnson is the boss. We release a new episode every Wednesday, so give us a follow, and then it will download automatically for you. You'll be happy. We'll be happy. It's really the best way to do it.
So much happiness. Do it that way.
But, like, please listen. Don't just download it. Listen to the whole thing. Find us on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Through rezoning, we can make it easier to add new homes across the city, including singles, duplexes, triplexes, backyard suites, and row houses.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.